Come out to Dillon Brothers Harley-Davidson and experience the power of the new Milwaukee 8 engine. Just a few minutes on a 2017 touring bike is all it takes. Book your test ride today.
Dillon Brothers. Grab your freedom. Come on, let's ride.
Mailbag, Mitch Sherman, Anthony Tolliver, all on the program today, 10 minutes away from Scott Shanley. So, you know, as we were saying, I picked up the Athlon's College Football Preview magazine. Highly recommend it. You hear Mitch Leiter on this program all the time. Great guy. He's the managing editor of the Athlon magazine. He's fantastic.
By the way, did you read in the credits? It's like one of the first pages. I mean, wasn't it Mitch that had a problem with Mitch Trubisky going by Mitchell?
Yeah, and he goes by Mitchell Light. I saw that. What's up with that?
Mitchell Light is in the magazine.
No, it was Schick, I think, that had a problem with Mitch Trubisky going by Mitchell.
See, I think it was Mitch.
I'll have to check the tape. I know Schick talked about it though. I don't know if I don't recall Mitch Light talking about it, but I know Schick did. But I did
see
that.
Fact check it.
Well, you might be right, but I know I'm not wrong. So there's that. So I'm combing through the preview magazine. Tons of great stuff, and yeah, I'm gonna go through it bit by bit. And I saw this. There's a whole section on the fade route, and why the heck it's so popular, and if you're like me, when you watch football on a Saturday, I can't stand the fade route. Like, I can't stand it. To me, unless you have Randy Moss or Julio Jones or, you know, someone like that, it's a bad play call to me. Unless you got just a monster of a big-bodied wide receiver or a mismatch, it's a bad play call. And according to Pro Football Focus in the story, college teams had a success rate of 36% when attempting the fade route in 2016. And NFL averages were around 33 to 35%, so it's kind of consistent whether you're talking about fades on Saturdays or fades on Sundays. So in some ways, it's kind of a fairly low percentage throw, low percentage play. Yet, you see it all the time. Coaches and offensive coordinators run it over and over and over and over. And I'm reading this story, and I'm like fascinated by it. Then all of a sudden, boom, there's a quote from Danny Langsdorf in it. And it's a quote from Danny Langsdorf kind of explaining why he likes the fade route. And I thought this was interesting. Langsdorf said, quote, "It's a safe throw. The matchup is always an issue, but I think that playing the odds, the completion rate certainly isn't high, but I'd rather give up that low percentage fade throw than something riskier. And I can see why teams take away the inside and give you that outside throw. They want to see if you can complete it." So, you know, there's some interesting schools of thought going on there that I've always felt like it's easy for us to play armchair offensive coordinator. I think we have no clue how detailed, intricate you think. You got to be playing chess, thinking 2-3 plays ahead, all these different things you got to be thinking about. But he's right. He is right on it being a safe throw. Because according to Pro Football Focus, there were 61 touchdowns thrown via the red zone fades in 2016 and only 4 interceptions. So that's that, like that number, those numbers right there, that's pretty, that screams safe, right? But Langsdorf's comments and some of those numbers kind of always backed up my school of thought with the fade. It's always struck me as a play where you're almost either A, hoping for a flag, or you're hoping for a safe, incomplete throw. Like, it feels like there are offensive coordinators sitting in the booth saying to themselves, all right, it's third and goal here. I want to make sure we get, you know, at least 3 out of this trip, at least get a field goal. Let's call a fade. Hope we get a flag for a pass interference, and we know it's got a low chance of being picked off. All right, break. So I can kind of see it both ways. I get why it would be appealing for offensive coordinators, because trust me, I get there are times you got to play it safe. But I also think you can't play to lose all the time as well. And there are obviously tons of variables with analyzing this specific play. But overall, I've just never been a huge fan of the fade unless you got some monster. What, you got Gronk, you got Odell Beckham Jr., you got Dez Bryant. And what's interesting is I was thinking about the fade route in Nebraska. A couple examples come to mind with the fade route the last couple of years. There was kind of the game winner, obviously, with Brandon Riley against Michigan State. That was kind of more of a go route, but it was kind of a similar type of it was more of a longer, like a longer fade route against Michigan State in 2015. But then Nebraska, remember at the end of the first half against Oregon last year, Tommy Armstrong threw a whole bunch of fade routes to Jordan Westerkamp, and they drew a whole bunch of pass interference calls that kind of methodically got him closer and closer and closer to the goal line that ultimately ended in a touchdown. And then Nebraska got burned at the end of the game against Illinois with a couple of fade routes. Remember that Illinois kept throwing fades down by the goal line to Geronimo Allison, and Nebraska got flagged a few times for pass interference, and then ultimately they caught the game winner on a little fade. So just an interesting story in Athlon, because it's always been an interesting play call to me that has always seemed to rub me the wrong way. Again, I think it goes back to your personnel. I think you either got to have a monster, big-bodied wide receiver out there, or I've always been a bigger fan of the kind of low back shoulder fade. You know what I mean? You know, there's like kind of the throw it up, the jump ball fade. I'm more of a fan of like the back shoulder fade that's got a little bit of zip on it, where you kind of put it where only the wide receiver is going to be able to turn and find it, even down by the pylon kind of a deal. The legit jump ball fade, you better have a monster out there. You better have Julio Jones out there. But I found that interesting, because it's something that's always been perplexing to me, and I'm reading that story, and then all of a sudden, boom, Danny Langsdorf pops up with a thought on it. You know, but I tell you what, 61 touchdowns, only 4 interceptions with goal line fades. Those aren't bad numbers in terms of saying what's a safe route with a lot of upside. Thought that was interesting. 402-951-1620. So, again, mailbag, get your questions into Corey, C-O-R-E-Y, at 1620thezone.com. Anything you want to ask me, serious or silly, best email questions, going to win lunch for 4 to Zio's. We'll do that at 12 o'clock. We got Mitch Sherman at 12:30, Anthony Tolliver at 1:15. But let's take a break. Let's get Scott Shanley, former black shirt, former Super Bowl champ. I'm going to ask Scott about this fade, the fade route, kind of how he views it as a defender. Last to tackle with Scott Shanley. We'll do it next.